Would you pray with me? God, we come to You, and You are indeed great. You are the great God, worthy of all worship and worthy of all praise. You are the God who seeks to save. You are the God who wrapped Himself in flesh and entered into our world. And Jesus, You lived a perfect, sinless life. And You went to the cross and You died on our behalf so that we might be saved. So Jesus, as we open the book of life, Your holy inspired word, and as we study from it this morning, may we not only see the extraordinary claim that You made, but may we see the truth behind that claim, that You are God. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't already, take your Bible and open with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. When you get there, you can find verse 17. I want to ask you this morning, what is the most extraordinary claim that you've ever heard? The most extraordinary claim that you've ever heard. Now, I need to help you understand what an extraordinary claim is. For example, if I walked in here this morning and I said to you, earlier in the week, I went out into our gym and I shot a three-pointer and I made it. Nothing but net. It went right in. You wouldn't think a whole lot about that. That's just an ordinary claim. You'd probably think, okay, so what? You made a three-pointer. No big deal. But if I came in here and I stood before you and I said, earlier this week when I had a little bit of time, I went out in the gym and I began to shoot three-pointers and I made 75 three-pointers in a row. I didn't miss a single one. Every one of them, nothing but net. One right after the other. You would probably say, I don't know that I believe that. If my wife were here this morning, she would say, you better be playing in the NBA somewhere making millions of dollars. You would know there's something off about that claim. You would immediately realize that is an extraordinary claim for you to make, that you made 75 three-pointers in a row, nothing but net, every one of them. In fact, you would probably at that point say, I want proof. I'm not going to take just your word for it. I want you to give proof. Was there someone there who witnessed it? If there were, I want to talk with them. Do you have video proof of it? Was there a camera set up and it showed you making these three-pointers? If so, I want to see that video. You would demand proof for my extraordinary claim. Well, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, when he began to grow in popularity, he made a claim himself. He made the claim that he was equal with God. And not just equal with God, but that He is God. And as we return to our study of the Gospel of John this morning, we return once again to John chapter 5, right where we left off a couple of weeks ago. And if you remember, in the first part of John chapter 5, Jesus healed an invalid man at the pool Bethesda. And this should have been a joyous occasion over the healing of this man who had been in this lame condition for 38 years. However, because this healing, this miracle occurred on the Sabbath, the religious leaders take issue with it. And really not so much with the healing of the man, but they take issue with the fact that after the man was healed, he picked up his pallet and he began to walk, and they wanted to know, why are you carrying your pallet? That is an infraction against the Sabbath regulations. You're breaking our Sabbath laws. Who told you you could do this? That was really their problem. And so when they ask him, who gave you permission, who told you you could carry your pallet, the man didn't know because Jesus had not told him his name. And so he just simply said, the man who healed me, he's the one who said, pick up your pallet and walk. And so instead of being happy about this man's healing, they become focused on his obedience to the law, and now they want to know, who's the one who told you to do this? And he doesn't know at that point. But as we saw last week, later on, Jesus finds this man in the temple and he tells him, now that you've been healed, go and sin no more. And that man immediately turns around and he goes back to the religious leaders in verse 15 and he tells them, it was Jesus who healed me and it was Jesus who told me to pick up my pallet and walk. So don't be angry at me. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just doing what I was told. Jesus is the one who's told me to do this. And this causes them to be upset and angry with Jesus because of what he had done on the Sabbath. And that causes Jesus to say to them, when they begin to talk to Jesus about why he did what he did, Jesus says to them in verse 17, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And we read that verse, and it doesn't really sound like a big deal to us, but it was an extremely big deal to the Jewish religious leaders who heard these words from Jesus' mouth. Because Jesus, in saying this in verse 17, has just equated himself with God. And they picked up on it rather quickly. And that's why we read in verse 18 that because Jesus said this in verse 17, for this reason, John says in verse 18, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And that's where we stopped a couple of weeks ago. And so as Jesus makes this claim that he is equal with God, he doesn't just make that claim once in verse 17, but he really goes on to make this claim throughout the entirety of this passage from verse 17 to verse 30, making the claim that he is equal with God five times. Now, he doesn't come right out and say that explicitly, that I am equal with God, I am God, but it's behind the words that he's saying, and the religious leaders knew this. And so let's read through this passage in John chapter 5, verse 17 through 30, and then let's look at Jesus' extraordinary claim that he is equal with God. Beginning back in verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming, in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In this verse, or in this passage, Jesus claims five times that he is equal with God. He begins back in verse 17 as he says, my Father is working until now. And his claim here is that Jesus is equal with God in his person. That he and the Father are one. He and God are the same person. His conversation with these religious leaders is occurring on the Sabbath day. So Jesus essentially makes the point, my Father is working even today on the Sabbath. Now, these religious leaders would have had no issue with that. In fact, they would have agreed with Jesus. They would have agreed that God was working on the Sabbath, because if God was not working, then the whole world would collapse. We're told in Psalm 135, verse 6 and 7, that whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and on and in earth, in the seas and in all depths. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from His treasures. And so Psalm 135 makes clear that nothing happens unless God's in control of it. That God sustains the world. He holds everything that happens in the palms of His hand. He sustains the world with His hands. And so if there was ever a moment where God was not working, the world would collapse. So Jesus says, "My Father is working even now," implying that the Sabbath was not instituted for God's benefit, but it was instituted for man's benefit. So the regulation of not working on the Sabbath does not apply to God, and because Jesus is equal with God in His person, the Sabbath regulation does not apply to Him. So He says, "This is why I myself am working on the Sabbath, just as my Father is." What we really begin seeing happen here is that battle lines are being drawn. You see, Jesus' claim of equality with God is what motivates and moves the religious leaders to try and kill Jesus. It's ultimately this claim, that Jesus claims equality with God and claims God as His Father, that leads to His own death, His crucifixion. You see, if you go forward in John's Gospel over to John chapter 19, after Jesus was arrested and He goes before Pilate to be put on trial, the religious leaders say to Pilate in John chapter 19, verse 7, "We have a law, and by that law, Jesus ought to die because He made Himself out to be the Son of God." And so Jesus' claim violated their beliefs about God. And when He shows up and He claims that He's equal with God, the religious leaders see Him as a threat and a charlatan attempting to lead the Jews away from worshiping God. So in their minds, He must be removed. They could not conceive of God in human flesh. Therefore, to them, Jesus was not God. And for Him to claim to be God was blasphemous and worthy of death. That's why John says in verse 18, it's because of this reason that they tried all the more to kill Jesus. But then Jesus not only says, "I'm equal with God in my person, I'm not only equal with God as God and one with the Father," but He goes on in verse 19 to say that He is equal with God in His works. Jesus says in verse 19, "Truly, truly, I say to you," and remember, when Jesus says those words, when you encounter those words, "Truly, truly, I say to you," or "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus is inviting us, He's inviting His listeners in to a deeply spiritual conversation that He's about to share some deep spiritual truth. So listen closely to what Jesus is about to say. And He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." So Jesus is equal with God in His works. Jesus makes clear that everything He was doing, everything He is doing, everything He will do from now on is in accordance with the Father's will, and He could only do what the Father Himself was doing. Warren Wiersbe says of this, "If healing a man on the Sabbath was a sin, then the Father was to blame. Jesus did nothing of Himself, but only that which the Father was doing. The Father and the Son worked together, doing the same deeds in the same way. So what the Father does, the Son does, because they are one." Jesus' claim that He and the Father are equal demands for us to see two hearts beating as one. Jesus says in verse 20, For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing, and the Father will show Him greater works than these so that you will marvel. The word love there in verse 20, in the Greek, it is the Greek word phileo, which refers to personal love between friends who delight in sharing everything. Kent Hughes explains the love and working together of God the Father and God the Son in this way. He says, Jesus is a separate person. He has power to act on His own, but by virtue of the love and identity with the Godhead, He does no action that the Father does not also do. Kent Hughes says, the Son and the Father do the exact same thing. They are in agreement. The Son does what the Father does. And so when these religious leaders hear Jesus' words, they heard the Father's words. When they saw Jesus, they saw the Father. When they saw Jesus' works, they saw the Father's works. That was the point Jesus was making. I am God in flesh. You want to know the Father? Look to me. You want to know the Father? You want to hear the Father's words? Hear me. You want to see the Father's works? Look at my works. And this just makes sense if we think about it. If Jesus and the Father are one, then it just makes sense that they have the same power to give life, which is the third thing that we see Jesus claiming here. That Jesus is equal with God not only in His works, but Jesus is equal with God in giving life. Just as the Father can raise the dead, so the Son can raise the dead. Jesus says He makes that clear in verse 21. The Jewish leaders would have considered this claim that Jesus has the power to raise the dead or to give life, they would have considered this another blasphemous claim from Jesus. Because in their minds, God was the only one who could raise the dead. But if Jesus is God, as He claims, then He too can raise the dead. But they don't believe Him to be God. Now we have to understand one thing, and that in the reality of John's gospel up to this point, Jesus has not raised anyone from the dead. Not up to this point yet. But He will. John chapter 11, He will raise Lazarus from the dead, showing that He in fact does have power to raise the dead. So if Jesus says here that the Father has the power to raise the dead, and He's given power to the Son, and the Son has the same power because the Son and the Father are one. The Son is God just as Father is God. And just as the Father can raise the dead, I can raise the dead. But yet He has not yet raised anyone from the dead at this point. Why does He say this here now? I believe it's because Jesus had more than just physical resurrection of a physically dead person in mind. Jesus here was not just referring to His ability to raise the physically dead, but He is referring to His ability to raise the spiritually dead to spiritual life. In fact, He amplifies that truth in verse 24 through 26, where He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself." Jesus is saying, today is the day of salvation. Today is a day that you've waited for, that you've longed for, salvation, for the Messiah to come and save. And today is a day I have come, and those who love the Father love the Son, and those who hear the words of the Father hear My words and believe in Me, because the Father sent Me, and if you believe in Me, you will have life. Jesus has the power to give life. But continuing with His claims to be equal with God, He goes on in verse 22, and He claims not only to have the power to give life, but He also has the power for judgment. Jesus is equal with God in His judgment. Verse 22, He says He's equal with God in judgment. The Father does not judge anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. He amplifies that truth in verses 27 through 30 when he says that God gave him, the Son, Jesus, authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. And do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Again, to the Jews, to these religious leaders, God is the only one who can judge, and no one dared to apply that title to themselves. God is the judge, and no one in their minds ever would dare to say that they are judged, but Jesus does. And by claiming to be judge, he claimed to be God. And so don't miss what Jesus is doing with every one of these claims in this passage. He is claiming that he is equal with God and is doing this in a way that the Jewish leaders cannot miss it. They believe there was one God and Jesus said, yep, that's me. They believe that God worked to uphold all things by the works of his hands and Jesus said, yep, I do that. They believe that God alone possessed the power to give life and Jesus said, that's me too. And they believe that God was the only judge, and Jesus says, I am the judge, because the Father has given me the authority to judge. So with every claim, he is saying to them and to us today, I am God, and you need to accept this. I am God, and if you're going to be saved, if you're going to have spiritual life, if you're going to be a part of my Father's kingdom, a part of my kingdom, if you're going to be saved, in the last day, if you're going to be raised to a resurrection of life and not a resurrection of judgment, then you must accept and believe that I am God. But why? Why must we accept that claim? Why must we believe that Jesus is God? Why is the acceptance of Jesus as God so important? Because of what he says in verse 24. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life. He who hears my word, Jesus says, and believes it has life. And so Jesus here in John chapter 5 verse 17 through 30 is saying, I am God and I have come to save. And if you do not believe this, if you do not believe my words, if you do not believe my claim, you cannot be saved. If you do not believe I am God, if you do not believe that I am equal with the Father, that the Father and I are one, and that I am doing the will of the Father, and I am only doing the works which the Father has given me to do, if you do not believe these words, you do not have life. This is why it's important for us to be truly saved. We have to believe the right things. Being saved is more than just saying a prayer. Being saved is more than just acknowledging that Jesus is Savior. Being saved means acknowledging that Jesus is God. If you do not recognize Him as God, you do not have true life in Him. But then one more claim that He makes in verse 23 pertains to His honor. It only makes sense that Jesus would have honor, right? If he is God, Jesus is equal with God in his honor. In verse 23, he makes this clear. Failure to honor the Son is failure to honor the Father. How a person treats Jesus is how they treat the Father. Those who truly worship the Father will respond to Jesus by honoring the Son as they honor the Father. If you hear my words, you'll believe. And you'll be saved and you'll honor Jesus. For the Jews, however, they thought they could honor God while rejecting His Son. But that is not possible. Because Jesus says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent them. You see, however you treat Jesus, whatever you think of Jesus is how you treat whatever you think of the Father. Why? Because they're one. They're equal. Whatever you believe of the one, you believe of the other. And so Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, you reject me, you reject the Father. You don't honor me, you don't honor the Father. You don't believe in me, you don't believe in the Father. You don't believe in my words, you don't believe in my works. You don't believe in the Father's words, you don't believe in the Father's works. You don't believe that I have the power to raise people to life. You believe God, the Father, doesn't have power to raise life. How, whatever you believe about Jesus is exactly what you believe about the Father. And while Jesus declares to them that they are rejecting Him now on this Sabbath day, we know that there will come a day when all will honor the Son. So you need to understand here this morning, saved person, lost person, saved person, if you've repented of your sin and you've placed your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you acknowledge Him as God, then you honor the Son in that, and you need to honor the Son every day as you live your life as a follower of Christ for His glory. But lost person here today, you need to understand that if you don't repent of your sin and you don't place your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't believe Him to be God, there will come a day where you will honor Him as God. Paul writes about it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, when he says, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Paul says there's coming a day where everyone will bow the knee before Jesus and they will acknowledge that You are Lord. You are God. They will give Him the honor that is due to Him because it is the command of the Father for everyone to do this. So either willingly or unwillingly, because it is the command of the Father, every person will honor Christ, God the Son. And if you do this willingly now, it will result in your spiritual resurrection now. Back here in John chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. Jesus, truly, truly, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead, the spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. So those who hear the voice of Jesus calling, repent of your sin, be saved, see Me as Savior and Lord, bow your knee to Me now, and you will be saved. For those who hear the voice of Jesus calling and they respond to that voice by honoring Him as God and surrendering their life to Him through repentance of sin and faith in Him as Savior and Lord, those who hear the voice of Jesus and respond, they are saved. Right now, through repentance of your sin and placing your faith in Jesus, you can be spiritually raised to spiritual life right now. But for those who ignore the voice of Jesus and do not respond by honoring Him as God and surrendering their lives to Him, for you, you will remain spiritually dead, lost in your sin. And while you will experience a resurrection one day, it will not be a resurrection to physical life in heaven. Instead, it will be a resurrection to judgment in hell. Only the saved will experience a resurrection to eternal life in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus says again here in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs, all who have died, will hear His voice, and they will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. And those good deeds which lead to a resurrection of life are not a reference to works that we do, but it's a reference to the faith that we place in Jesus Christ, a reference to our repentance of sin and belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And those evil deeds are not so much a reference to the evil works we do in our sinful flesh as it is to a rejection of Jesus as Lord and Savior and denying that He is God. And those who do those deeds will be raised to a resurrection of judgment. So these five claims that Jesus makes in this passage, that He is equal with God in His person, in His works, in His power to give life, in His authority to judge, and in His right to be honored as God, all point to Jesus being God. And this claim angered the Jews to the point that they were ready to murder the Son of God Himself. They could not accept what John Stott says in his book, Basic Christianity. To know Him was to know God. To see Him was to see God. To believe in Him was to believe in God. To receive Him was to receive God. To hate Him was to hate God. To honor Him was to honor God. And I ask, what about you this morning? Do you know Him? Do you see Him? Do you believe in Him? Have you received Him? Have you honored Him by surrendering your life to Him as Lord and Savior of your life? To not do this is to hate Him and reject Him and remain dead in your sin. Now, if we're honest, there's a problem here, right? You remember how I started? I shared with you the extraordinary claim that I went out in the gym and I made 75 three-pointers in a row, and I said, if I made that claim, you would say, where's the proof? Is there video evidence of this? Is there a witness that can testify to this? And if I cannot produce evidence, you would not believe my claim. Jesus, in this passage, claims that He is God. Are we just supposed to take His word? As a Christian, I would say, absolutely we are, because we know who He is. We know that He is God. We know that He is one with the Father, that He is the Son of God, sent into this world to die. But are we supposed to just accept His claim because He makes it? Well, I say yes, but for some, that's not enough. Well, I have good news for you. If you go on and you read in this passage in John chapter 5, which we're going to pick up with next week, Jesus presents three witnesses that testify that He is God. And He presents three because in the Old Testament, God would say to the Israelites, the testimony of one is established by two or three witnesses. Jesus will present three. And we'll see that next week. God, we come to You. We thank You for Your word. Jesus, You are God. You are one with the Father, one with the Spirit. You are God. May we all recognize that. I pray that every person in this room has recognized that, because without recognizing that You are God, salvation cannot occur. We might confess that yes, Jesus is a Savior. He lived, He died, He was raised from the dead. And so I know He's a Savior, and I know He has great power. But if we don't recognize that You are God, then our salvation is not real. So I pray that every person here this morning would be able to confess, Jesus is Lord, He is Savior, He is God, and I have surrendered my life to Him. I pray that that has happened. But for those who have not done that, I pray that today, Holy Spirit, You would work in their heart and You would show them that they need to repent of their sin and place their faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And so I pray that spiritually dead hearts would be raised to spiritual life all across this room this morning, for their good and for Your glory. Thank You for Your word. May we continue to grow in it as we continue to understand who You are, Lord Jesus, and what You have come to do in our lives. Now, Holy Spirit, work as we respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.